to all the solopreneurs, startup and small business owners. Cheers to you. Those with the courage to set out with an idea and bring it into reality. Maybe very quickly you realize that running a business takes all kinds of skills. Many you have, but maybe some you don't. The Good for Business show is designed to help your business grow by having fun but valuable conversations with the best industry leaders across sales, marketing, content creation, and mindset. So let's get into this week's conversation with your host, Michelle J. Raymond. Welcome, everybody, to the Good for Business show. We are here to talk about what's brand got to do with it. And I'd love to start singing for you, but I'm not going to hurt anyone's ears. Today, joining me is personal brand strategist Michelle Griffin, aka my LinkedIn bestie. I'm so excited that we get to have this conversation today. For people that haven't met you or come across you before, can you do a quick intro so that they can know who you are, who you help, and what you do?
Absolutely. It is so good to be here. I'm Michelle Griffin. I'm a personal brand strategist for B2B professionals and founders and entrepreneurs who want to get out visibility and authority and credibility. And that's what I do. I help you build that online presence. And how I do it is I have a huge 7-step program to do it. And I also forgot to tell you, I'm calling all the way from Florida. Michelle and I are 15 hours away. She's in Australia. I'm in Florida. We're always talking. We call ourselves Michelle Squared.
The power of Michelle Squared is better than the power of each of us by ourselves. We have learned so much from each other over 12 months now. Mm-hmm. And essentially, for people to understand, I come from a sales background. Michelle comes from a marketing background. And so we take the best parts of both and help each other in our businesses. So the word personal branding gets thrown around on LinkedIn like no one's business. I think it was probably the word of 2021. But I want to ask you, as the expert in this field, what is it and what isn't personal branding?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I'm here to demystify and dispel those fluffy words and meanings of what it is. For me, in the way I practice it, a brand is really like the gut feeling, the connection you have, person has with our product or service. And for a personal brand, it's that, but it's you, personal brand, it's being very intentional. Very strategic. The word strategic is huge for me. And really crafting that narrative to be that go-to known top of mind person. That's what you're known for. And in reverse, it's how you make people feel. That old famous quote, which I absolutely cannot stand reading, that's about as cliche and overused as well as the Jeff Bezos quote. I absolutely hate it, because it's just, that's all people talk about. They think it's all about you, right? And nothing could be farther than the truth. The way I practice is intentionally defining who you are and all the things so that people know who you are. Visibility is not vanity. It's being valuable to one person for one particular area to solve a problem. So that's how I practice it. And I have that 7 steps, which we don't have to necessarily go through now, but we can if the need arises.
We'll definitely be going through that a little bit later, because one of the things that I discovered, and it wasn't part of my awareness until like you and I started to talk, was that I never thought that I needed a personal brand. I didn't think that it was necessary. I felt like it was a bit of a gimmick. It was a bit fake. But then I realized if I don't control the narrative, there's still one there anyway. People will think certain things about me. They will associate different things with me, whether I deliberately take actions or not. For people that are sitting there going, yeah, I don't really need to worry about it. I think there's also the misconception that personal branding means you have to tell your life stories all the time. Can you distinguish getting personal versus personal branding? We need to get that out of the way up front as well.
Absolutely. Great points here. Being personal is just us knowing you. You want to build trust, relationships, and connections. That's why you need a personal brand. You don't have to be personal. In fact, my post today, I have a slider all about standing out on LinkedIn with your content. And one of the words which I coined like 2 years ago was being professional. Okay. It's a combination of being personable and professional, like just personally. And a shout out to Phil Davis. He calls it personally professional. You just got to be a human, be personalized, be someone wants to know and have a connection with. Now, why do you need one? Because you want to be top of mind. You want to be the go-to person. I'll give you some examples. One of the mistakes in one of my founder stories, a personal brand should have a story and why they kind of do what they do and why it matters. Before I left my marketing job and became an entrepreneur, started my consultancy, I waffled for 5 years doing, just didn't do the things I should have done. I was doing courses, credentials, all those things, which you think you need. In hindsight, what I should have been doing is crafting my personal brand, like on LinkedIn. Imagine if I would have started that in 2015. Now, I'll tell you why. So I was heavy in the insurance and legal world. I was really well known. I'd been in that, really established. I left that industry, so to speak. And I just kind of started over because I wasn't as known. And I kid you not, when I was still in that industry, I didn't really do a good job of crafting my brand because people all the time thought I worked in insurance. Okay. I used to get so mad. I used to cringe. Nothing against insurance. It's just, that's not me. I just do marketing for that industry. You get misaligned, misquoted, misinformed. It's better to step out, craft who you should be, who you help. And then that way you become top of mind and you're the go-to. And you're the person someone wants to do business with because they know who you are, that you're the help person. So that in a nutshell is what it is.
Now, one of the things that you helped me with most, and this is the thing back at the beginning, I set up my business, I go out there, I start talking about company pages. Everybody starts to associate Michelle J. Raymond and company pages. And this is, you know, going back at the start of 2021 when you and I first met. Then we fast forward and I'm like, yeah, this is a good idea. Nobody else is talking about this. We hit about April and I started to doubt myself because no one else is talking about this. Then I was like, Michelle, maybe I should do this, that, and the other, add in all of these other services. I could write profiles. I could write content. I could do this. I could do that. And you said to me, stop. Wait a minute, Michelle, stay in your lane. I would love you to talk through what your advice was to me at that time and why people should look at general versus niche branding, because it made such a massive difference to me. We all know how it turned out in the end. I want people to know, if it wasn't for Michelle back around April, that I would have just gone, and nobody would associate my personal brand with company pages. Tell us about general versus niche branding.
And I can guarantee you, no one would know. We wouldn't be having this conversation. All the things that you have done to stand out and you're seeing, yeah, we wouldn't probably be here because you would just be one of the crowd. Please. You are the global pages. I don't know any. I mean, I know there's other people do it, but when it comes to top of mind, I think of you because you stay in that lane. And here's the thing. You didn't stop at mile 25 of a marathon. And so many people do. You picked your lane. You picked that one, carve that one area where there was a huge need. And no one was doing it. So with that consistency, and you were tracking along, I can remember those posts. And I remember you would go, gosh, and look at you now. I mean, it's exploded. You just stayed in your game, stayed in that lane because no one else was doing it. You had a 100% faster chance to stand out, be known, and get those opportunities. When people go searching, you're top of mind, you are the ones. People all the time, and even for me, we tend to, humans want to protect ourselves. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be the only one. But you weren't doing it in a weird or horrible way. You just felt alone in your little world, right? It just took some time for people to go, oh, here she is. And then you're now this. You're going to get faster traction staying in one lane. And then who's to say, and I think this is true for you now, Michelle, once you get that traction, you can then expand out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's been the lesson for me, is to get really well known for one particular thing that opens up doors and opportunities for other things. It's not that I am stuck in a little box. It's actually the box I stand on to be noticed, to be seen, to be heard. And I love it because now while I'm asleep, all of my network is out there going, if a company page question comes up, ask Michelle, connect with Michelle. Michelle's post does this. See Michelle. Just amazing. The same happens now. If anyone talks to me about personal branding, you're my go-to, so much so that you're now one of my good traders, trusted partners. We are going to take that to the next level. Can you give some advice? How do you work out a niche? How, I guess, general should it be? Or how little do we get? Because I feel like if we go too small, do we cut off a whole bunch of the market, which is hard when you're starting out? Or how does it all work?
Oh, great questions. And I usually attribute that into my steps, but I won't get there yet. But let's talk about niche and the general thing. You want to go as niche as you can. And there's got to be people in that. You want to have competition, because if there's not, then it's not enough marketplace activity. So go as niche as you can. And niching can be different ways. The old way was demographics and blah, blah, blah. No, you can solve a problem on a niche. Like, you're the go-to person that solves, you know, this problem for various people at different ages and stages that share the same problem. Or you can be an industry niche, or you can be a perspective. You're standing out because this perspective is totally different. And people who align with that are going to go to that. So as niche as you can, as micro niche as you can, where there's still activity, because there are some niches, believe it or not, that probably aren't, you know, viable. And if you don't see any competition in there, then that's usually a sign. But if you can even just go on pain points and perspectives, I think in psychographics, that's going to be huge. But you find where there's a need, where they'll pay you, because that's the thing. You need to be paid in this niche. Just because there's a niche doesn't mean it's good. It has to be paid for. You have to enjoy it yourself. I've done work and tried out last year. There's stuff that wasn't a fit for me. And there has to be something that lights you up. It's your ikigai, which I use as a basis in some of the things. It's what the world needs, what you're good at. You have to be good at it too, to be able to do it. There's a market need, and then what lights you up. So those are various ways. I think we get too caught up and it has to be a certain demographic or industry, but it can be those other ways as well.
Yeah. And I think that's something I've played around with as well, trying to distinguish, yes, I want to work with small businesses. Who or what is it? Because that's pretty broad. That can be in the States. I think you told me it's up to 50 employees, whereas in other parts of the world, they might see it different. And what I realize is I want those people that are in small business that want to lead from the front, that are up to make a difference in the world and don't want to blend into the background. They're up to some cool stuff. It doesn't matter what industry it is. They're the subject matter experts. I don't need to be, but I want to help them get that message out there and make the world a better place. And when I think about that, I'm like, yes, that would be cool. Imagine if I could empower other people to get their message out there more in their niche. But you're right. At the end of the day, we've got to pay bills for most of us, unless it's a hobby on the side and you have that privilege that you can just post what you enjoy. But if you have bills to pay, then I think you should listen in with what Michelle's saying. Make sure that there's actually a market there. You've mentioned your 7 steps program that you do that helps people step through how do you build a personal brand. I know we don't have time because this takes hours when you work with clients. Can you just give us a quick overview on how that would actually work with a client?
Yeah, absolutely. I posted today about people who are not getting a lot of traction on LinkedIn. A lot of times it's because their brand and content strategies don't exist or aren't aligned. Real quick, the 7 steps that I take for a personal brand strategy to really get you defined is perspective. Just like a company, we want to know your values, your goals, all the things that are going to dictate where you want to go. You got to want to know. But we also want to know internally all about you, your expertise, likes, all those things we sort of just talked about in the niche thing, your professional experience, personal things. And so we get your perspectives on that. Number 2 is people. We do a deep dive on who you want to serve. That your people for me is your persona, that one audience, but it is also another component. It's partners. Kind of like you and I are, right? We're going to cross-pollinate each other and refer each other, recommend. You're going to end up growing your brand, yourself, your business by being in alignment with people who are going to lift you up. Also, to a community you're going to start building too, your people and your partners. So that's really huge. I'd take a really deep dive on all those internal things. And then the external things is who you're going to serve with your people and the problem that you're going to solve for them. That's huge. We see what their problems are. What are some of the areas they need help? Is it high? Is it low? All those areas. Number 3 is positioning, because we need to be different in the market. We need to answer the question, why should I do business with you? Why should I hire you? What is different about you? And there's a way to do that. Kind of like at the niching thing. One of the other ways is maybe your DIY help, maybe done with you, maybe done for you, maybe you're low end, high end, quick. There's all kinds of ways to mix and match it. But also positioning is just getting that firm plant in the marketplace with your perspective, your point of view, all those things come into play. When I work with clients, especially in that first 2 sections, I tell them it's equivalent of taking a 1,000-piece puzzle, because I ask them all these questions and we have to align it. We dump it on the table. We try to get the frame of it. And I start seeing this golden thread. It's always happened. Everyone has this golden thread where I see this and that. And my job is to help connect the dots so that these steps come into play. Positioning is really huge, because then it dictates your packaging. Your packaging is alignment with several areas. First of all, like a website, we get on your messaging. That's huge. Your social channels. We talk about your offers or a brandable framework or process you might have. For instance, this 7 steps is a packaging thing for me. It's an IP. Yeah. It could also be your customer journey. That's huge. I'm really big about that. I get really granular because it's so huge. When you have all this dialed in, it makes sense. Then number 5 is publishing. You don't want to work with clients. We don't get on LinkedIn till number 4. Step 4. Number 5 is publishing. all that stuff that matters. We put it in your content. We get all that out. So number six is promotion. When you're getting traction by this time, kind of like you are, Michelle, you're starting to see opportunities to be guesting on podcasts, to maybe start your own. We find ways that works with you and what you're good and what your audience needs to amplify you in the promotion. And number seven, if I've done my job, I'm prepared to propel. I'm propelling you to keep going, because here's the thing. Your brand is not one and done. Your brand, when you make that decision, it's an ongoing growth, compound interest. You're going to keep propelling forward, paying it forward, helping people get the results, showing the proof, building your community. All of those things that just keep making good business, as you would say. Yeah, that's a lot right there.
Those steps are all amazing. The things that came to my mind as you were talking through those, and they all just are the obvious flow. Number one, before we start creating content, we got to have a plan, and that plan's got to align with your business or with your personal goals. Where are you trying to get to? Because quite often people just want to jump in, and if we just create content, then it'll all magically happen. Start with a plan. I love that you've put those into your steps. I also, for me personally, and I think this kind of flows into what we wanted to talk about next, is why do all of this? The reason is you want to deal with the right kinds of clients, and I'll let you talk to this a little bit more. But I think you can actually charge people more money when you nail this and get all of your messaging right and aligned. There's more money to be made. How do you think branding helps businesses grow? Because it's no doubt that it does.
You attract the right people, repel the wrong, because you define who you are, what you serve, the problem you serve. It's crystal clear. We're getting clarity. And in that, I have a CFP thing. I help you find clarity, who you are, your message, and you serve. And focus. You can really get focused on what the core goals are to get you there. And positioning is super huge to put your place in the market. You're not doing the cliche, throw the spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks. You absolutely know, because that's the problem. Too many people get on LinkedIn and get off quickly because nothing's sticking, because there's no plan or substance. Also, you're going to cut down on marketing cost. You're going to keep that really tight because you're getting and you're tracking. That's another thing too. We have traction and we measure. So you're going to save time. You're going to save money. You're going to get the right people. They want to do business with you. The customer journey, if you're doing it right, is cut short and they can buy your services or products.
Yeah. You know? I think from a sales perspective, it literally just sets you up to smack it out the park, because when they actually reach out, and there's stats that are saying it's as high as 80% of the work and research is done before they even reach out. It's really important to have that messaging clear so that when they reach out, you've got the right person that knows your services, knows who you are, can relate to you, because I think that's important that you have that connection. And then when you actually have the conversation, it's all about logistics. It really becomes down to things like the price. And I find that people don't really argue about price as much if you've prepared them and taken them down on that seven-step journey that you've said. It's an obvious no-brainer choice, not a I'm trying to find the cheapest. It's I've already found the person that will fulfill my needs and solve my challenges. I think it really makes life so much easier from a sales perspective. If you tighten up that message, make it really clear who you want to help, how you help them, and what the results or the transformation are after they've worked with you, because I know that's where you make a huge difference to people. I'm going to put my hand up and say, absolutely have helped me from a branding perspective over the last 12 months. That's made a difference in my business. I know lots about company pages, but my brand is more than just my company page knowledge. Mm-hmm. Other people can learn company page knowledge. They can read my book. They can read Business Gold and find the knowledge, but that's not what my brand is. I think it takes in other things. Do you find people just think branding is a logo and some colors?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that a misconception? What's your other favorite misconception?
Yeah, it really is. I was having a chat, text chat with a former colleague of mine who's super smart, and she kind of assume that too. And she goes, it's really confusing out there because some of the service providers who do it kind of say, and I'm not dissing that, but the way I do it is like a real brand strategy that will dictate the visual later. So that visual stuff should come later and it goes into the packaging part. If people are confused, that just gives me an opportunity to tell them. Like one of us, I was telling a client today, you should be that person who educates people, because going back to the brand thing, they're going to know you. You're going to form a deeper personal connection, a relationship. Whereas I don't care what Michelle charges, I want to do business with her because she's telling me all the right things. She's for me. I think it's just instilling that gut feeling what a brand is, that we need to make sure that all our businesses have that, because then we're going to come out much stronger on the other side. And it also humanizes our businesses too.
I don't ever shy away from people want to do business with people, and branding's really important. Your brand is your story, and it's about storytelling. Now, storytelling seems to be another kind of flavor of the month for me. How does that fit into branding from your side of things? Because I think people think, oh, if we don't tell stories, we can't get clients. But is it a small part, or how does it fit in with branding from your experience?
Yeah, well, having a story, having a founder story, your why, it basically a lot of times will translate into your why. Like, why are you doing this? It's usually some trigger story that from a founding perspective or something happened to you. A lot of times we're our own avatars. And so that just helps feed that connection. There's usually a reason why you're doing it. And because it should be true and authentic, not made up stories. Think about some of the company brand that had a story. Let's think of Tom's or Sarah Blakely's Spanx, her story, how she sold fax machines. Having a good founder story is usually a really good reason, even if a personal brand or a company brand, that just humanizes and we form a connection. We all know Gary Vee. In fact, I found someone posted yesterday or the day before a picture of Gary Vee. It was like 15 or 16 years ago yesterday that he started his first YouTube wine channel. We all know the stories of how these people got started. That just brings us to a connection point with them. It humanizes us. It makes us like them hopefully even more. I think stories are huge, and you'll see a lot of times they push for a founder story as a, you know, way to get out there and start telling your company story. And I think that's a huge asset to have.
Personal branding is a pretty broad and generic, you know, term. I know it's one that you don't necessarily love, but it is what it is. If people have been listening in and they haven't really been taking control of the personal branding, I mean, they still have one. We all have one, whether we take action and really refine it. But where do you start, Michelle? What is the thing that if you're listening to this today as a business owner, you may have employees that work for you as well, because we need to factor those guys in. Where do you actually start with personal branding? We know it's not about creating content.
Yeah, no, it's not about creating content. It's just a small part of it. To get really strategic, without going through my 7 steps, what are you wanting to be known for? At the end of the day, what do we want to control our narrative on? I really don't like this word authentic either. It's overplayed. But, you know, what are we genuinely good at that we can show up and help people with? Because that has to become into play. So what do we want to show up, get that narrow attraction for? Let's use you as an example. Last year, you decided I'm going to be the company page expert. You went all in, but you were also crystal clear on who is your audience, right? You absolutely knew who is your audience and what is the problem you solve for them. What and how do you uniquely qualify with a perspective or some kind of way to do it? Because that's going to absolutely help. The basic 5 W's: who you serve, what you do, how you do it, your why. The 5 W's and a why. If you can just write that out, you can at least start sketching that out. And know and get traction. But I also see people say, I want to do this, but I want to do that. And their content and their headlines and all things is a jumbled mess. The fastest way is one way, one person, one avatar, one solution for the most part. I have people come and push back. I like to talk about everything. Yeah, that's fine. I'm trying to do this for a brand to build a business. So if you just want to have fun and talk about whatever on LinkedIn, that's not what I'm talking about.
And there are plenty of people, that's why they are on LinkedIn, and that's perfectly okay. Totally. But if you have a business and you are looking to grow that business, and I'd love for people to share in the comments, what is it that you want to be known for? What is the thing that you're setting out to do? Share with us so that we can all jump in there. You never know who's in the comments. And that's exactly how Michelle and I met. I was sharing my views on company pages on a post, which is the thing that I wanted to be known for. I put my little signpost out there in the comments. Michelle happened to see that, and that resonated with her because it was different to everybody else. Fast forward, here we are over 12 months later. I have, you know, formed this amazing collaboration. I think this is another reason why when you are your personal brand and you're clear around that and you're consistent, I think consistency is key, and maybe persistency. I would throw, you have to do it over the long term. It's not something you do for the next 5 minutes and then you're done. It's just never ending. And you attract the right kind of people that you can collaborate with, and that brings even more opportunities for your business to grow. Building a community of like-minded people that share your values is even more powerful, because you can do things on a scale you can't do by yourself. This is where we're starting to see company pages. The future of those will be those companies who are successfully building communities by having really strong company brands and a strong personal brands for the founder, for the employees. This is where Michelle and I say it's like the power of Michelle squared. If you have both of those working in synergy, it's unstoppable. That's where the magic is. That's why you and I have so many conversations and are collaborating to share this. It's not company brands in place of personal brand or vice versa. No matter how many people tell me people want to do business with people, businesses employ people. There's so many reasons that a business is just a group of employees, and humans.
Yeah.
This is why we're having, I don't know how many conversations we're having this week alone. Michelle, it has been absolutely amazing. And yes, our time has gone by, and it'll be the first time we have ever stuck to time in our last 12 months. I appreciate all of the knowledge that you've shared, not just with this audience, but for me personally. You have helped me immensely, and I really appreciate that. And I would highly recommend anybody that is struggling to define their personal brand to reach out to Michelle. Investing in your strategy session will mean your results will come forward. So you won't be wandering around aimlessly in the wilderness called LinkedIn. Is there any last minutes, last words that you want to leave the audience with before we wrap this up?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And it is amazing that we can talk in 45 minutes or 30 versus 2 hours. So that's a good thing. It can be done. But seriously, I can talk. If anyone has any questions, just reach out to me. I'm here because my biggest thing is I don't want good people like you to be stuck on the sidelines with not being clear positioned or just wandering. And a strategy will help you, because we all have an experience, a message, and expertise to share that someone needs it out there. The sooner you can get out there, clearly defined, and find those people, you're going to make a huge difference. And as Michelle says, do good business with good people.
Absolutely. And that sounds like a perfect note for us to end on. So thank you, everybody. I wish everyone a fabulous rest of their day. Cheers. Bye.
I don't want you to just listen to this episode. I want you to take action to grow your business. So let's connect on LinkedIn and continue the conversation over there. Find me at Michelle J. Raymond, and my company page is Good Trading Co. Cheers.